It's the Keep 1 Million Show. I'm Dwayne.
Sean P.
And it is April 18, 2024. We are live. And we're going to get into the WNBA draft.
Yes, sir.
Multitasking right here. The WNBA draft, and we already know who went number one.
Yes, it was the worst kept secret. Clark.
But a surprise to me was Angel Reese and Cardoza both going to the Chicago Sky.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was very interesting. I didn't think, I thought Angel Reese was going to go a lot higher, but I think obviously Chicago Sky had something in mind. They knew what they were going to do. I mean, what did you think about the WNBA draft?
Well, the draft was very interesting. I see why. I believe that the Chicago Sky actually went in Cameron Brink, but she went number two. And they took Camilla Cardoza because they believed that she wouldn't have been there at number seven. So they just rolled the dice. So like, let's take Camilla Cardoza, and if Angel's there at seven, and then we snatch her up, you know, because Angel Reese was playing out of position at LSU, so she's a natural 3-4, you know, she's playing a 5, so she's playing out of position. I mean, she still was a dog, she still was beasting and everything, but I get it. I believe that everybody got drafted is going to contribute to their team. You got to remember that it's 144 spots in the WNBA. Sometimes first round picks get cut. It's extremely competitive. They say it's one of the most competitive leagues in the world. So more competitive sports leagues in the world. So it's tough, but it was a really good draft. Sad to say, I was more excited for the WNBA draft than I am for the NBA draft. Because I don't know the college guys. I don't know the guys coming out for the NBA draft.
Right.
But I know, I can tell you right now, out of the 12 girls that went out in the first round, I knew at least six of their names.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, looking at, you know, from a money standpoint, everyone's talking about how much money they're getting and whatnot and all the numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark could have had 8 games, $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
But she possibly is going to make that back in endorsements with Nike, possibly Under Armour,
possibly Prada, because she had Prada glasses on, Prada. I mean, and somebody can fact check me, but she's a marketing major, so her wheels are turning. She already at least verbally with Pat McAfee, she'll be a weekly contributor. I mean, she's doing her thing, and like we said before the show, I think her and Angel Reese should do something like a podcast together, babe, because they'll give her their demographics, they'll get her demographics and Angel's demographics,
right?
And then together they'll kill the game.
Yeah, exactly. And another thing, you know, about the WNBA, they're gonna have to find a way to keep these players in the States, because if everyone say, you know, this is one, you know, the fastest growing, you know, league, and they need to have more money. Well, you need more butts in the seats, one. You need more merchandise sales. And you need these players to not go overseas and make more money, because that's still there. That's still enticing for them to go to Australia, to China, to Russia, Europe, and make millions of dollars. And also, players possibly staying all 4 years, because their NIL deals are more than WNBA contracts.
Mm-hmm.
So they're in a, you know, quite a bit of a thing here, you know, a catch 22. Or also, this is their last year of their collective bargaining agreement, so they're going to be negotiating a new contracts and new revenue streams and whatnot. So a lot's going to go on this season in the WNBA. Who do you think is going to be the rookie of the year, though?
The
with this group?
Well, the odds are on Caitlin Clark. The odds are on her. I believe that on the low end, for point-wise, on the low end, she'll average 12. On the high end, 17. I believe she's going to average about 14 points a game, 14, 15 points a game. Probably about, because she's a very good distributor of the ball. So probably about, I'd say about 5 to 7 assists. Maybe three rebounds a game, 3-4 rebounds. I don't think she's going to be down there battling Cardoza and Andrews for rebounds. I do believe that, so the odds are on her. I look at like a player like Cameron Brink, because she can shoot the outside shot and she's good inside and she blocks shots, plays a lot of defense, plays real good defense. Look at her. I believe that Angel Reese is going to have a tougher transition than anybody else, because she's a post player and she's working on her jumper and everything. So I do believe that she will be a double-double machine in the future, but just not in her rookie year. Last hour, you said Camila Cardoza. I have to think about it. I have to think about that. I'm like, you know what? She could. Mm-hmm. You were right to say that. She could.
Yeah. I think she's going to get, you know, average a double-double possibly with blocks. And, she could dominate down low. And I think with Chicago re-upping, you know, and they could possibly go deep in the playoffs. It could happen.
I would like to see her work on her low post moves and polish up those the drop steps, turnaround jump shot, something like that. I would like to see her polish. She polishes that up, man. She's going to be nasty.
Right. Trying to move on from the WNBA and go into the NBA band's Jontay Porter. Lifetime ban for gambling. Mm-hmm. This guy was going crazy with the gambling.
Yeah.
I mean, gambling on himself, gambling for the Raptors to lose. One time he took himself out of the game due to illness.
Yeah.
Only played 3 minutes in that game. And that's coming off of a $80,000 bet that could have paid out $1.1 million. On a parlay that was specifically for him. You know, these sites have these fantasy, you know, does this player, can this player make more, you know, 7 points, 8 rebounds a game, and you go over or under on that, and if you hit, you win, you know, you can win some money, win a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You know, he put down $80,000. Now, here's the problem. He had placed at least 13 bets on NBA games, you know, on using someone else's betting account. Mm-hmm. Wagers between $15,000 to $22,000. And also made winnings of $76,000, netting $21,000. Now, you know, this had Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, you know, after the investigation, banning him for life, calling it, you know, blatant, quote, "There's nothing more important than protecting the integrity of the NBA competition of our fans, our teams, and everyone associated with our sport, which is why Jontay Porter's blatant violation of our gaming rules are being met with most severe punishment." What are your thoughts on this situation? Because it's, I would say, an asinine, dumb.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't smart to do. He did try to cover his tracks up. He did try to do dummy accounts and stuff like that. He tried. But I don't believe he had the aptitude to do it. It's almost like, it seems like for you to do that, you're going to have to almost get somebody overseas to do it for you and have an overseas account to wire money to it, everything. And for a lot of these guys, they don't want to go through all that. So the best thing to do, if you got to go through all that, just don't do it. Or better yet, don't gamble on your own sport. Because I believe if he would have been gambling on baseball or hockey, like, it would have been fine. But the fact that he gambled on himself.
Right.
So I would just stay away from your sport. Just stay away from that. He bet against himself, against his team. I can guarantee you if he would have not necessarily bet on himself. So if he had bet on like Sacramento or Golden State, then he probably would have still got suspended, but he wouldn't have got banned for life. So this is just egregious. And I can't say I can't have any empathy for him. I don't even know if he's gonna be able to play overseas. I would assume that he could if he go to China, right, or go over to Australia or something like that. And then just do a thing. He can still make money. He can still make a good bit of money over there, and possibly maybe transition into coaching over there. But he's not gonna be able to do anything, not even coaching, with a ban on him like that. So he's young too. He just ruined his career, ruined his life.
He had a contract of $410,000 with the G League,
mm-hmm,
and if he was re-signed for the next season with the Raptors, his contract could have been over $2 million.
Mm.
So, he would have to play overseas. I mean, we're seeing this more and more and more with these scandals, these betting scandals from players. I mean, there must be a problem with gambling. I mean, there has to be.
Yeah.
There probably has been for a long time,
mm-hmm,
and now this is coming to a head. Because this is kind of getting out of hand with the Shohei Ohtani situation, with his interpreter, you know, kind of find out it was basically identity theft. He was actually saying that he was him at the banks. That's why he was getting all those major wire transfers. But for betting, just betting games, that's what I don't understand, because I'm not a gambler. You bet that much money, and I guess the thrill and all of that to make all that money, you know, for mm-hmm one, you know, bet. But yeah, you can ruin your life, and this is what happened right now with him and a few others that's been going on in the past few years since sports betting's been legal.
Yeah, Calvin Ridley.
Right. I think this punishment is to deter others. NBA players from betting.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
You don't want a lifetime ban.
Most definitely, to deter others. It's like, do you see what can happen? But it's not gonna stop, because it's at your fingertips. DraftKings, I think it's one called
FanDuel Underdog.
So, but I'm not gonna say I never placed a bet, but I'm not a player. You know, when you place a bet, you know, you can do these over unders, these parlay stuff. I mean, it's all kinds of stuff you can do to make money and everything. So, and people always say, well, it's just money. I always tell people, you never can have enough money. I mean, I don't care how much money you have. It's never enough. But you got billions. It's never enough.
Right. That's true. But I know one thing. A lot of players are going to think twice about betting. You know, like I said, bet on another sport, but definitely not on the NBA, and definitely not on their own team.
Don't bet on the sport that you play or on your own team. And, you know, Adam Silver was like, you know, F around and find out.
what he said.
Yeah, you gonna find out. He's unlike David Stern, he's a player's commissioner, but he's not playing with this one. He said, no, okay.
Definitely not playing with that. And we're gonna come right back. We'll get into the NBA playoffs is going to be this weekend. We're getting to the NBA play-in tournament, and the teams that are in and the teams that are out. We'll keep luck right here on the Keep One Bleach.
Yes, sir. Sean P.
And the NBA playoffs are almost set. We have two games remaining in the play-in tournament. You have the Bulls facing the Heat,
okay,
for that eighth seed in the East.
All right.
And then you have Sacramento versus the Pelicans in the West for the eighth seed.
All right.
Now, one team you don't see, the Golden State Warriors. They lost to the Kings. And is this the end of the dynasty?
Well, if you if you're a history nerd like me, you know, you realize that all dynasties come to an end. You know, in China you had the Han Dynasty, and then you had Rome. You know, even the British Empire fell a little bit. So you see it happening, and it happens in sports as well. I mean, it happened to the Yankees. Remember, the Yankees had multiple dynasties, actually. Yeah. But the most recent in our time was in the late 90s, early 2000s.
Yeah.
And that you know, that broke up. So you had to see it with Golden State. Yeah, a few seasons ago, they won a chip. But you started to see it even then. You were like, maybe if KD would have stayed with them, they could have kept it rolling a little bit more. But you started to see that. He was like, yo, they're probably not going to keep this up. You know, so I'm not surprised. They're getting older. I was surprised when somebody said they said Steph Curry was like 36, yeah. 37 years old.
Yeah.
He's like 3 or 4 years from 40.
Yep.
Like, and I would say this, Draymond has to be blamed for this, because if he would have not been suspended all those games, it shows that when he's on the floor, they win. So, you know, they would have been in the playoffs. They wouldn't even have to do a play-in if he would have been on the floor with them. But they are getting older, and Clay's getting older. He's about to hit free agency. And Clay said, you know, his actions are showing that he wants to stay there and finish his career there. But, you know, this is a business. If they can get something back for Clay, they're going to do it. How many teams would love to have Clay? Like, somebody, they would make him like the fourth, like what Porzingis is for Boston. They make him the fourth option. Like, you don't have to get his 27 a game. You get us a good 14 a game, and go off for 31 games, it's all good. Like, yeah, it's coming to an end. They'll still be good, but I don't know about championship good.
They got beat by Sacramento 118-94.
Yeah, they got beat pretty bad.
Klay Thompson in 32 minutes, 0 for 10. Field goals, yeah. 0 for 6 for 3.
Mm-hmm.
0 points in an elimination game. Curry with 22,
mm-hmm.
Wiggins with 12,
yeah.
Green with 12.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for the Kings, five, all the starters in double figures. The Kings are young, hungry. You see them; they knocked them off last season, Golden State.
Yeah,
and
we were here in the studio when it happened.
Right, and you know, they're the up-and-coming team. They're the young version, I would say, of the Warriors, you know, being right down the street from them.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's time. Time's passed. You know, we've seen a lot of dynasties come and go with San Antonio, with the Lakers,
mm-hmm.
you know, with Boston. And Golden State's just another one that is, yes, I don't close. The thing is, I think Klay Thompson is not going to be back with that team. He has proven that he's not worthy for another contract with Golden State. Now, with another team, maybe, but with Golden State, they need to find something else. They need to find a whole another. I mean, we've heard about this. We've been through this before with Golden State, but I think this is the time where, yeah, it's time to break them up. You know, bring them back, you know, when they retire and put their statues up and everything. But right now, I think it's over. If they want to try to win next season and beyond, you know, if not, they want to try to keep it together, then Klay's going to have to make a significant pay cut, mm-hmm. and a significant diminished role.
Yeah,
because you have to find something else that has to work, because Steph is not carrying the team. Steph is dragging the team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And for them to be at this situation, it's not good at all. The Lakers winning. They're going to go against Denver in a rematch, 7-2, 7 versus the 2 seed. you know, rematch from last season's Western Conference Finals.
Yeah.
Denver is just, they're rolling to the point where I don't see them losing to the Lakers at all in this series. I mean, it's going to be in five.
Yeah.
Four.
They did get swept last year, the Lakers. In the last hour, I said Denver in six. Because to tell you the truth, this is legacy defining for LeBron. If he gets swept again two seasons in a row, I mean, how can he be considered the GOAT? Which everybody's considered, hey, oh, he's the GOAT. I don't believe he's the GOAT. But you just can't. You know, so I have him doing it in six. Yeah, I got him doing it in six. The Nuggets. The Nuggets beating the Lakers in six.
Okay. And then moving to the East, you have the 76ers winning, beating the Heat, and now they're going against the Knicks, where Knicks have the number two seed.
Mm-hmm.
With all the injuries they had, they end up finally getting a two seed behind Jalen Brunson and Hart and DiVincenzo. Those Nova boys over there.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a seed that nobody wanted, because no one wanted to face either the 76ers or the Heat, being that playoff Jimmy.
Mm-hmm.
But now he probably won't be with an injury. He has an MCL sprain or whatnot. He may not play against the Bulls. But you have Joel Embiid back healthy from being with a knee injury, also MCL. He was, you know, half the season. Now he's healthy. I mean, can you see the 76ers upsetting the Knicks?
I can see it. This is a series that can go either way. It's not like either team is like that much better than the other one. I could definitely see the Knicks pulling this out in seven, because I believe it's going to go seven games. I can see the Knicks pulling this out in seven. I can see the Sixers pulling this out in seven. The fact is that for Philly to do it, they got to win in Madison Square Garden. They got to get a game in the Garden. They have to. And for the Knicks, your Knicks really don't have to get a game in Philly, but if they get one, it's good. So Philly have to win their home game. So you know how the playoffs go. If you could steal game one, you know, that swings it your way.
Yeah.
And then it forces the higher seed to really have to press it out in game two and then try to steal one on your home court. So we shall see. But what I want to do is watch the first game and see how it goes, and then see the coaching of Nurse mm-hmm. and Thibodeau going together. I really want to see how this turns out. It's going to show me a lot in that first game.
Right. I can see the Knicks winning the series, possibly in six. You know, they beat them, 3-1?
Yeah, they did.
In the regular season, the thing is, Brunson is just amazing. I mean, he's going, this past month, he was averaging like 35 points a game. The thing is, I am scared of Joel Embiid going off. And he possibly can. He probably go off for, you know, two games. In a row, maybe three. So, you know, that is something that needs to be addressed, because I don't think Mitchell Robinson can go against Joel Embiid. So
we'll see. I mean, yeah, that LeBron said it best. He was naming players that somebody asked him a question. He said players that you don't have an answer for, and Joel Embiid was one of them. He said,
right.
Yeah, you just don't have an answer for that. You know, he's a big man shooting 90% from the free throw line. you know, like a lot of big men don't do that. and he's doing that. So,
and
should be a good series.
I will say, don't forget Tyrese Maxey as well.
Oh, yeah, Tyrese Maxey. He's tearing the league up. He's going to get that max. He's going to get that max deal. Philly actually has a lot of cap room. So they can go for like a Clay. They can go for Paul George. Mm-hmm. Stuff like that, so you know, we'll see.
Yeah, and who can beat the Celtics? Now they're gonna get in the eighth seed. I would say Chicago would probably win the game against Miami for that eighth seed. So they're most likely gonna run past that first round. The second round would possibly, you know, possibly Orlando, you know, from that 4-5 matchup.
That's Orlando.
Orlando-Cleveland matchup. I mean, that's right there. Yeah. They can beat either of those teams in five games, four, possibly a sweep. I'll say Orlando, that would be a sweep. I think Cleveland may could get one game at home, you know, game three or something. And then, you know, the Eastern Conference, maybe the Bucks, maybe the Knicks, maybe the 76ers if they do a run. Yeah, I'm looking at the playoffs. Potentially, they have a straight shot at the finals.
Yeah, I believe it's going to be Celtics in the finals. Like you said, who has a chance to beat the Celtics? The Nuggets. Yeah, I believe it's going to be Denver and Boston. I believe Denver's going to get it. Now in the West, that's a little, because I do believe that Dallas could give Denver a run for their money. Dallas could, but I just Denver's just tough. So yeah, Denver and Boston.
And going back to the West, you have, obviously, defending champions get the 2 seed. Mm-hmm. Oklahoma City, where people are saying that's the weakest number 1 seed. I don't see that. I really got to look at Oklahoma City. I'll probably go back and see games with Oklahoma City. The surprising team is Minnesota at 3. Mm-hmm. But then you have 4, 5, and 6. The Clippers, Dallas, and the Suns, which all three of those teams can make a run. I mean, is this probably the most stacked Western Conference we've seen in how long?
Since you remember those Memphis teams that had Z-Bo, Mike Conley Jr. Mm-hmm. And them? I say that's the most, because the Western Conference was stacked back then. So, pretty stacked.
I think, remember when Golden State was first coming up, going up against Houston, and those teams, the Clippers, the Suns weren't that good, but the Lakers were still there. That was a stacked Western Conference.
Yeah, it was
as well.
Houston. It was Houston. It was the Clippers, it was the Lakers, it was Memphis.
Yeah.
Golden State was not Golden State yet.
Remember, they called it the arms race. I think it was Daryl Morey who called that an arms race back then, when they had to grab, they grabbed Chris Paul and grabbed James Harden, and you know what I mean? So yeah, going against Golden State, the Clippers losing 3-1, you know, those years. And the one team that makes it two teams that make this I think more stacked is the fact that Denver being defending champions and Oklahoma City coming out of nowhere. I mean, we've seen them coming, the young kids, you know, first year, second year players. You have Chet Holmgren healthy this time, going for Rookie of the Year. SGA becoming an MVP candidate, you know, and Giddy being an all-star caliber player. All of them, under the age of 25? Man, that's amazing. That's kind of like that Oklahoma City team from the when they made it to the finals.
Yeah,
Harden and Kevin Durant and Westbrook.
That's Sam Presti. Sam Presti. You gotta remember those
great GMs.
It was KD, Westbrook, Giddy, Westbrook. Remember Harden came off the bench.
Yeah.
They had Serge Ibaka. Remember they had a young Reggie Jackson too coming off the bench.
Right.
So they had a squad.
And you gotta remember, those trades he made, off-season deals, those, you know, the Chris Pauls, the Paul Georges, even back with the Kevin Durant and Russell Westbrook deals, all those deals made this team. Mm-hmm. That's number one, is Oklahoma City. So you gotta give Presti really hats off.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. I mean, he should be executive of the year, what he's done.
Yeah. You gotta remember that one time when OKC had Chris Paul, and they played Houston in the playoffs. They went to seven games, and they almost pulled that off. So Presti's really good. I will vote for him for executive of the year.
Yeah. And gonna have before we go to break, what are your picks with these 8-seed games? Heat versus the Bulls. Bulls are a 1.5-point favorite. And Pelicans versus Sacramento. Sacramento's a 1.5-point favorite. So who do you got in those games?
I'm gonna take Chicago over Miami because I believe Jimmy Butler's gonna be covering. I wouldn't play him because it's a sprain. Yeah, come on, that he easily pop his ACL. You don't want that. So I believe that Chicago's gonna pull that one out, and then in the West, I believe it's gonna be Sacramento because you informed me that Zion had a sore hammy. Yeah, and I believe Sacramento's really hot. I know they lost. They have not beat New Orleans this year, but I believe they're going to beat them for that 8 spot.
Yeah. I also have, you know, the Bulls beating the Heat because of Jimmy Butler's injury. And then Zion is also injured for the Pelicans. It has a hamstring. So I would think, you know, Sacramento, especially how they're playing with all their players, they're going to get that 8th seed against Oklahoma City. And I would say huge upset alert. Sacramento, Oklahoma City. I think that first round, that's going to be the best first round matchup. Two young, hungry teams. Sacramento being there before.
Mm-hmm.
Oklahoma City, this is their first time as a group in the playoffs. That's going to be a major matchup. I'm going to have to watch that.
Yeah.
And I may put my money on Sac Town. In that first round, I think that may be an 8. I mean, we see a few 8 beating 1 seeds. Remember, you know, those old Golden State Belief teams, you know, the Denver team that beat up.
Yeah, when they had Mutombo.
Right, with Mutombo.
Mahmoud Abdul-Raouf,
right.
Alfonso Ellis, yeah.
Yeah. Sacramento team, maybe that team, that other 8 seed to beat a 1.
I believe
that could happen.
The Knicks, they were 8
yeah,
seed.
Yeah, the Knicks won. They went to the finals losing to
San Antonio. It was another time, wasn't there, 8 seed, when Allen Houston hit that last second shot against the Heat?
Yeah, that was the same team.
Oh, that was the same team. Okay.
Yeah, that was the same team.
Okay, that's when they played San Antonio. Okay.
Right. Yeah. Right. Because the Heat was the 1 seed in the East.
Yeah.
And the Knicks were the 8 seed. Yeah. So I really think look out for Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm not saying they're gonna make it to the finals or anything like that, but I can see them being Oklahoma City.
Yeah, I can see it.
And we're going to go to break. We're going to come right back. We're going to get into some boxing. This weekend, we have Haney versus Garcia. Garcia going crazy, literally. I don't know what's going on with him.
yeah.
And we're going to get into some more news and notes. So keep it locked right here. It's Keep 1 Million Show.
Yes, sir.
Before we get into the Garcia-Haney fight, we do got to bring up what happened with O.J. Simpson's passing. He passed at 76 years old.
Yeah,
prostate cancer. Yeah. Condolences to his family.
Condolences.
But, you know, all the backlash, not to say backlash, but the hate that comes with it.
There's so much
That was kind of messed up because of, you know, what happened well over 30 years ago, which he was acquitted on a double murder charge, if there were no, back in 1994.
Yeah.
You know, it broke through in the Knicks-Houston Rockets NBA Finals
game.
Where he was in the Bronco with his best friend, A.C. Kellings, and that, I can never forget that.
Yeah. Here's the thing. I get it. This is how I look at it. He was acquitted. Now, do I don't know what to believe. If he did it or not. It's conspiracy theories all out there. However, you know, he was acquitted of the crime. There's a lot of people that believe he did it. And, you know, you saw a lot of, Todd Gurley posted something about, he posted all the accolades, right? And then people were just going at him on Twitter or on X. I was like, and I was looking at Rob Parker and Chris Broussard. Mm-hmm. And they were like, whenever you talk about this, you have to talk about the other side. You have to say how he went up a double murder, how he was acquitted, and this. And I don't believe you have to. Like, I don't believe you have to bring up the bad stuff and everything. But I understand. I saw where he was coming from. I just don't agree. I know Magic, people were going at Magic Johnson because all he said was condolences to the family, his family. You know, we're praying for you, blah, blah, blah. We're praying for the family. And then Rob Parker said, well, some things you just should say in private. I was like, why is it that today, in these days, you gotta tiptoe, walk on eggshells and everything and say, you can't say to the family on Twitter, X, or whatever, you can't say, oh yeah, hey, we're gonna pray for your family and everything like that. Well, why is it, you should just say that in private? You know, and then Caitlyn Jenner coming out saying that, oh, good riddance and everything, and then Cam going at her. Saying that, and Cam was calling, saying he the whole time. Yeah. You know, like he going at her, saying that, hey, you know, then you something about a vehicle homicide, right? He was just saying like, hey, you know, you killed somebody too. He was like, so pretty much ain't that the pot calling the kettle black? You know, so I kind of understood where Cam was coming from. And of course, she came back and said, "Oh, it's not the same." And but Cam was like, "But you paid off, you paid them off." So that's pretty much avoiding wanting to go to court for it. You know, that's almost admitting guilt. Like, even though I don't believe that because a lot of times you just pay it off because you just don't want to go through the court stuff and everything. So I don't believe that's admitting guilt. But I understand where Cam was coming from.
Right. There's so many, you know, ways to go about talking about this when it comes to O.J. Simpson. You know, you could go into his football career, first player to rush for 2,000 yards in a season, in a 14-game season, you know.
Mm-hmm. Average 143 yards a game.
Right. You know, Heisman Trophy winner, Hall of Fame football player, accomplished actor, you know, and you can just leave it there. But also, you do, yeah, everything that happened after that comes up, that changed, it actually changed television, the landscape of television. Court TV came from the OJ trial. You know, true crime came from the O.J. trial. People that's younger than, you know, that was born after the 90s don't know that. True crime, that genre of television came from the O.J. trial. You know how many books were published because of that trial? Countless of books, you know. Attorneys becoming stars celebrities came from that trial. Marsha Clark and Christopher Darden.
Johnny Cochran.
Right, Johnny Cochran, you know, the superstar.
Yeah, the late great Johnny Cochran.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, so much came from that trial. People are still upset about it. People are still happy about it. You know, 30 years later. And for people, it's kind of like, it's upsetting because it's the same thing that happened with Kobe. And Kobe passed. There are people talking about, you know, the sexual assault charge that he was, you know, acquitted of.
Yeah, yeah. Snoop Dogg went in on Gail King. Yeah, then he retracted everything.
There's a lot of other people talking about it. I was like, wow, is this how y'all feel about that person? You know, after they passed away, he didn't say nothing when they were alive.
No, it was people saying stuff when he was alive.
Right. But we could go into whole conspiracy. That'll take a whole another hour to talk about all the conspiracy theories, what's real, what's not, when it comes to that case itself. You know, a lot of things were brought into the case.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of things were left out.
Yeah.
A lot of things, when you see what the LAPD, who they are, that comes into play, and people actually dismissed all of that because they just did not like O.J. Simpson. That's what it's about.
And Doug Gottlieb, he went at Shannon Sharp because, like, you know how a lot of people say, you know, I'm not going to talk ill of the dead. You know, I say it too. I'm not going to talk ill of the dead. You know, let the dead rest.
Right.
Let it rest. I actually got into it with my sister-in-law about something she said about somebody that died. I was like, you know, just let the dead rest. You know, because and he was like, no, you know, why do we have to let the dead rest? Like, I was like, you let them rest because it's done. Mm-hmm. It's done. And he was going all like, no, OJ, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, Dag, Doug, I mean, aren't you the same dude that was scamming your teammates? You know what I mean? Like, you know, come on now. He got caught up scamming his teammates with credit card scams and stuff like that. So what I'm saying is, you know, yes, let the dead rest. He was saying, no, don't let them rest. But like, yes, let them rest. I like.
And who said don't let them rest?
Doug Gottlieb. If you look it up, Doug Gottlieb.
I don't like listening to that guy.
I was like, dude.
I'm not like listening to Doug Gottlieb.
I don't either. But because he was going at Shane, I was like, dang, man. But you know what? I was like, okay, you know, I get it. You know, you may not be a spiritual person, but a lot of us do believe what's in the Bible. And in the Bible, can't remember where it's at. It does say something about talking ill on the dead. You know, like God tells us that they're already gone. Just let it rot. I mean, he don't say it like that, but just let it go. Yeah, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, and the thing that made it worse to me was that where TMZ was trying to fish for, did he say his last words, and saying, oh, he didn't say anything, his last words, and friends and family were told not to say anything. It's like, man, what are y'all trying to do here? Y'all really trying to see if he said that he did it, and there are fake accounts on Twitter saying that, you know, posting that OJ said before he died that he did it and all that. It's like, what are y'all trying to, like, some kind of, what does that make you feel if he confirmed that actually he did what he didn't do? It doesn't make any sense to me, you know? I didn't get that at all. It's like really strange that he was acquitted and people hate it to the point where, I don't know if their whole lives are geared that way. I'm not that type of person, so I don't understand that. But condolences to the Simpson family.
Yes.
That's basically what I'm saying. Condolences to the Simpson family. And, you know, he was a great football player, and I've heard people around him loved him. So that's all I'm going to say.
Yep.
And one last thing before we go. Ryan Garcia is fighting Devin Haney.
Yes.
Saturday night. And is Ryan Garcia okay mentally? I'm just wondering, because I was watching the Is What It Is show, and I guess I'm seeing the picture right now where they're at the, you know, the Empire State Building, and Haney pushes Garcia, and later on he says all kinds of these crazy tweets about he shouldn't hit a woman, and he identifies as a woman, and he's saying all this wild stuff in these interviews, and I get, you know, the trolling and whatnot, but is he all right?
I don't know.
It's going to be in Barclays in
Brooklyn. I don't know how to answer that question. I just know he started going, he put his, as somebody said, that he put his tinfoil hat, his lunar foil cap on. You know, people back in the day said if you do that, they can't read your brain and stuff.
Yeah.
And I honestly, I could be a bit of a conspiracy theorist and everything, but it's a time and a place for everything. You know, this ain't the time nor the place to be spouting out the conspiracy theories, and it's not, and talking about you identify as women. This is what I believe. So I saw his Breakfast Club interview. He was cool there. But this is what I believe. I believe he's doing this little crazy act just to draw attention at everything. Honestly, I believe it should be a decent fight. It should be a pretty good fight. I'm a lean on Haney. I'm gonna say Haney's gonna pull it out, pull a decision out. We'll see. But honestly, you know, Haney actually should be fighting Shakur Stevenson or Tank Davis. But hey, we'll take this one.
That's probably gonna be the next fight. But I say this being a knockout.
You think Haney's gonna knock him out?
Yeah, I think Garcia has said too much. He talked too much to where Haney's gonna have to knock him out.
Mm-hmm.
To show him, like, hey, that trolling doesn't work here. And I guess it's to strum up more fans and more people to go see the fight and watch the fight, because Garcia's this, you know, internet sensation, this YouTube star coming from the ranks of, you know, the Paul brothers. You know, he's going that route, but he's a professional fighter. He's 24-1 with 20 knockouts, so he's not bad. But I think he's going to get his second loss here, and bad. Haney wins this, keeps his title. And right. He probably goes against Secure or Tank, and I want to see that anyway.
Yeah.
You know.
Probably, it's probably gonna be Secure first.
Right. Yeah. One last thing before we leave is in these first round matchups, who do you see winning these first round? NBA playoff matchups.
Alright. Start with the East. I got Boston over Chicago. That's the 1-8.
Yep.
The 2-7. I'm going to be a homer. I'm going to say Philly. In 7. 2-7. 3-6, that's Milwaukee and Indiana, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say Giannis is not playing, right?
The first, I think, couple games, he's not going to play, but I think he's going to eventually play.
Okay. I'm going to take Indiana. I'm going to take Indiana. And then it was a 4-5. I'll take Cleveland 4-5.
Yeah, that's gonna be an easy road for the Boston, for the Celtics,
because
the second round they'll have the Pacers will play the Celtics.
Yeah, and then out west, The one is OKC, so.
Right.
So the OKC Sacramento. You know what? I'm gonna take Sac Town in that one because I believe they're real hungry. And then that's 1-8. So the 2-7 taking the Denver Nuggets and the 2-7, 3-6. Who's the three out west?
It is Minnesota and the 6 is the Suns. So you have Minnesota versus the Suns.
I'm gonna take Minnesota with the Suns. And then the 4-5,
Clippers and Mavericks.
Clippers and Mavericks. I'm gonna take the Mavericks.
Okay. For me, with the East, Boston against Miami, Boston.
Mm-hmm.
Knicks against Seven. I gotta go with the Knicks.
Okay.
Milwaukee and the Pacers. I think Milwaukee can pull it out. And I'm gonna have to go Cleveland against Orlando. In the West, I'm going to also go with Sacramento over Oklahoma City, that upset. Denver beating the Lakers. And Minnesota squeaking out against the Suns. And then I'm going to have the Mavericks beating the Clippers. I think the Mavericks can upset the Clippers on that one. So.
Okay.
Yeah, that's going to be my first rounders. And with that being said, I'm Dwayne.
Sean Fay.
This is the Keep 1 Million. So we're on Thursdays, 7 to 9 p.m. on KRDP and publication of Desert Soul Media. We'll be back next week for our NFL draft special. So keep it locked right here. Thanks everybody for listening, for watching. And we'll see y'all next week.
Yes, sir.